circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. God is the point of the circle, round whom all creation turns. Nothing lost but held forever in God's gracious arms. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Let our hearts touch far horizons, so encompass great and small. Let our loving know no borders, faithful to God's call. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamt before. Let the dream of Christ be in us, open every door. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide.
Welcome. Welcome to worship on this beautiful morning, amazing oceanside, beautiful weather. My goodness, how beautiful out here. And it's good to be able to get together and to worship on this lovely day. It's also good to be able to have you join us online. We know our God is bigger than all places and of all times and all encompassing. God's most amazing grace. We come together in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome. I'm Robin Jacobson. You're joining us here at St. Stephen's United Church in beautiful Qualicum Beach, where we meet on the unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation. We say that every time that we meet because we acknowledge that there is still work of reconciliation to be done, and we're wanting to honor the stewards of this land down the millennia, our commitment to continue to be stewards of this land alongside the indigenous people of this place. Welcome. We meet together in the name of Jesus Christ. He said he's always going to be with us, always, wherever we go, by the power of God's own Holy Spirit. We aren't summoning up that presence, but we are opening our minds to an awareness of Christ's presence with us. That's why we light the Christ candle, reminding us that Christ's light is greater than any darkness that we may be experiencing, and that nothing can put that light out. The hallmark of Christ's presence, our awareness of Christ's presence, is a peace that passes all understanding. And so now may that same peace of Christ be with you. And so with that peace of Christ comes an awareness of the fact that we are not alone, that Christ is with us exactly as we are. Probably always too much to leave us exactly as we are, working God's good grace through us. But if I were a butterfly, well, that's what I'd be. And if I were a mensch, that's what I need to be, living into our fullest possible selves. What a joy.
Friends, God is in community at all times and in all places. We are included in that community. Come and celebrate his holy presence with us and in us. Let us turn our hearts and minds to God and to one another, including all in the ever-widening circle of divine love. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, forgive us when we become so self-obsessed that we lose sight of who you are and whose we are. Forgive us when we turn away from your all-encompassing love that yearns to make us whole. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts and let us turn back to you to know your acceptance and presence within us through the mercy of your Holy Spirit, that we may love you more fully. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Christe eleison.
Christe eleison.
Kyrie
Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Dear God, thank you that that is what you do. Thank you that that is who you are. And that in Christ, thank you, that's who you make us to be. We are beloved. We are forgiven. We don't always know that. May we know that. Now, may we know that always. Amen. Today's question is around, who are you? Who are you? Spoiler alert, our deepest, truest identity is that we are already and always will be held in God, held by Christ in God. That's who we are. We participate in the divine life. God's intention is for us to be woven into Christ, with Christ, for us to be able to know that and to be shining with the sacredness that has been ours from the very beginning. Astonishingly, our lives and God's life never meant to be separate. We are one with the holiness of God. That's who we are. Our readings from Genesis and Romans today are all about this most powerful truth of our identities. Listen for the Word of God, in the Word of God, as Earl reads for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Readings this morning are from Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis 26 to 28. And God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female, and God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, and for every living thing that makes, that moves on the face of the earth. And then from Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 17. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who have welcomed him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all of the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life in God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bring you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you have received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we can go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. This is the word of God.
I am a child of God. I am a glimpse of God's new creation. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am an endless prayer. I am a yearning for contemplation. I am an endless prayer. I am an endless prayer. I am an angry voice. I am compassion and consternation. I am an angry voice. I am an angry voice. I am a cry for peace. I am commitment and dedication. I am a cry for peace. I am a cry for peace. I am a song of joy. I am the moment of jubilation. I am a song of joy. I am a song of joy.
I love how Richard Rohr begins one of his studies with Paul's question, "Where do you abide?" Meaning, where do you live? Where do you mostly tend to live? What and where is your identity most rooted? In what? What defines you? What do you allow to define you? Our truest, our deepest, our most profound, most essential identity is not in our ego. It's not in the things that we have built in our lives, the things that we have done, the good things that we've done, the hard things that where we have failed, all those external things, the achievements, the failures, the various roles that we have opted for in our life. Our deepest identity, our truest sense of self, folks, is that we live in Christ. We may say these words, but to own these words, that we live in Christ, our participation in Christ's own life. Of course, we do allow ourselves and our lives to be caught up in all of what we build, what we do, what we don't do, the failures, the successes that we've made. These things are the clothes that we tend to put on. This is so often what we tend to think about when we think about our own identities. And of course they matter, but they are not essentially who we are. They're like the onion that you start taking off the onion rings. And yes, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a partner, I'm a husband, I'm a minister, I'm a... what all these different identities that we have. You take off one onion ring after another, and after a while we may start getting a kind of creepy feeling that there's nothing in the center. To take off the onion rings, if I'm not defined by my onion rings, then what am I defined by? We live in Christ. We are defined by Christ. Like Thomas Merton's ladder. Thomas Merton spoke about how sometimes it's as if we spend our whole lives trying to climb the ladder of success. We try to get our achievements. We try to get things right, only to find when we get to the top that there's nothing there. There has to be more. I remember visiting Jack, call him Jack, many years ago now. This man who had been an elder in our church and respected, and he'd been a person that had achieved very well in his career, and he was at the end of his life. He was sitting in a wheelchair. He had to have his legs amputated below the knees because of diabetes, and he was sitting with his wife in his darkened living room. She was sitting on the one side of the room, he was sitting on the other side of the room, and all around the walls were all the awards that he had won at his very, very successful career. He had long since retired, but all these awards, dusty awards in this darkened room. And I was very aware that his daughters, three of his daughters, none of them were there because they were estranged. He had somehow messed up those relationships, and old Jack was sitting very alone, wife on the one side of the room, him on the other side of the room. And it just seemed to me how all of those great achievements, all of those things that he had managed to do in his life didn't seem to mean that much anymore. Where do we live? Where do we live? Our truest identity, according to Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4, our truest identity, folks, we have to hear this, is that we are hidden with Christ in God. Our old life, however valuable that it was, and it still may be, but it is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, this is Paul writing in Colossians, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remembers, when Christ shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. Isn't that grand? It's as if God always sees Christ when he looks at us. Looks straight through our successes and our failures and our attempts and sees Christ on the inside. Not our small self, not our external self, but our essence, our real self, the true self, the one that he has made in his own image. I remember another fellow that I met also years ago. A rough guy. He'd been a con, he'd been in prison, and I met with him when his wife passed away, his wife of many years. They'd been through all sorts of things together. But in the last part of their lives, they lived in quite a poor part of town. They'd opened their house, a humble home, but they'd opened it up to the community. They'd made big pots of soup, and people used to come to the house. It was open door. It was just welcome. Anybody was welcome there. And there would be drug addicts, and there'd be all sorts of people sleeping in the hallways, and they didn't mind. They just put a blanket over the person. And they were just had this ministry, this kind and caring ministry to so many people, not trying to convert anybody, not trying to change anybody's life, other than just to show them love and appreciation. After she died, I was able to be part of the funeral service, and we cared for her, and we celebrated her life. And a few months later, I went to go and visit him. And I was wondering, we had a very good connection, and his connection with our local faith community, and I asked him whether he didn't want to somehow become involved in more of our faith community activities and so on. And he said that he couldn't. He would love to, but he couldn't. He said that his life, choices, and who he had been so rough that he felt that he wasn't worthy to be part of a faith community of good people. This Jesus person, this person that was just dripping with holiness, he was allowing his ego, false life, the onion rings of his life, to define him. When all I could see as I looked at him was something so beautiful, something so holy. My goodness. Our truest sense of salvation is never about what we may do so much as we are, how we are enabled to connect to our source. That's who we are. That's what we've been made to be. And so, where do you live? Where do you go to when you want to embrace your closest and finest sense of identity? Colossians 3, verse 3, you are hidden with Christ in God. That's where you live. You belong to Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, 21 to 23. And Christ belongs to God and you belong to Christ. There's holiness in you. You are being transformed into that same image, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We are being transformed into who we are. Our awareness is being transformed as we grow spiritually. We are God's children now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. That's who we are. That's who we are. Why would we sell ourselves short? Why would we want to miss that sense of wonder, that sense of absolute reverence? It's not a stretch for us to say, therefore, that as we realize who we are in Christ, so we may come to realize that God's life and our life are one. I'll say that again. That God's life and our life are intended in Christ to be one. The same on earth. James Finley pushes that even deeper, this mystical union, where he says, in Jesus it is revealed that God has become incarnate as us. That God's life and our life are one life. God has become incarnate as us. You are the body of Christ. We lose it. We miss that. Isn't that kind of the point why Jesus introduced us to the sacrament of Holy Communion? He said, eat this bread. It's my body broken. Drink this wine. This my blood shed for you. Eat, drink, eat, drink, eat, drink until you get it. You are what you eat and drink. We are the body of Christ. That's his point. That's what he wants us to be able to own. There's this unitive nature of God and the soul. It's a union not earned or lost by any moral achievement or moral failure. It's a union that is permanent and for all time. And it's purely grace, by grace, already given to us. It's given. It's here. It's where we have been made to live. This is where identity comes from. So who are you? Where do you live? What defines you? The point being that it's in him, Acts chapter 17, that we live and move and have our being. We are not separate from God. We are the place where God is showing up as our very life. That's who we are. Back in the 14th century, Meister Eckhart, the German mystic, told the story of the person standing in front of the mirror and looking back at their reflected image. And suddenly the reflected image starts speaking to them. And the reflection says, "Hey, I know you." And you say, "Yes. We've been together a long time." "Yes, we have. We've been through some stuff, you and me." "Yeah, we have." Then the reflection says, "I've learned stuff along the way." And you say, "Yes, you certainly have." Then your blood runs cold because your reflection says to you, "I don't think I need you anymore. I think I'm good. I think I'm going to go on my own from here." And you say to your reflection, "That's silly. You can't be on your own. You exist as a reflection of me." And the reflection says, "There you go. You're trying to hold me back. I want to be free. I want to go and live my life." And so to teach your reflection a lesson, you just move off the mirror a little. And automatically half the reflection disappears. And the reflection says, "Oh my God, I don't know. Who am I? I don't know who I am anymore." And it needs to go for therapy and counseling, get on Xanax and all antidepressants because it's freaking out. Who am I? And so you step back onto the mirror. And suddenly the reflection comes back again and it's whole. And you say to your reflection, "You are real. But you're not real in the sense of how you think reality works. You're only real as a reflection of me. Everything else doesn't exist. It's not real. Only as you reflect me. We are made in God's image. Where we live, our reality is only real as we are a reflection of the God in whose image we are made. Everything else is smoke and mirrors. It's fabrication. Where do we live?" Jesus' prayer, "Oh dear God, that they may be one, even as you and I are one," in John 17. What did Paul say to the people of Galatia? "It's no longer I who live, my outside external self. It's like I've been born again. It's Christ who lives in me." That's who I am. That's who I am. Then we have Celtic Christianity that focuses on a whole groundedness of that reality. Julian of Norwich, this woman who lived in a cell, in a little room in the wall of a cathedral the whole life with this deep mystical wisdom that she was given, she wrote, "We are not only made by God. We are made of God. In Christ we embrace a holiness that is here. We're speaking about this God who in Christ is revealed as inseparably woven into the fabric of our being." So where do you live? Where do you go to? What defines you? Who are you actually? Folks, our truest identity is the divine heartbeat that we may sense from time to time pulsing within us. That's who we are. The radiance of God in Christ rising up, even as Christ rose, into our awareness from deep within us as we grow. Who are you? That's who you are. That's what you are. That's where you are. Made in the image and likeness of God, as Earl read from Genesis chapter 1. In the image and likeness of God. Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The psalmist realizes for us, that's who we are. Not separate from God. God's beloved. Shining with the divine image. Participating in Christ's own life and woven into the sacredness of all creation. Our primary identity is Christ in us. The holiness of divine life expressing itself through our own humanity. Now we may say, okay, we kind of get all that. We have some sense of abstract idea of knowing all of that. But do we? Do we actually know that? Do we? Because how we see ourselves living and how we see other people living around us doesn't reflect that. It's like we believe we're less than that. Like it's like we believe it's good to be envious and jealous and greedy and easily hurt, easily vulnerable. That's all the ego stuff, folks. Yes, it's real, but it's not capital R real. It's not essentially who and what we are. Why do we allow that stuff to define us? No. I think perhaps the highest calling on all of our lives, every one of us, is to embrace that truth and to help one another to embrace that truth for themselves. They say that one day when we get up to the pearly gates, the question isn't going to be, why didn't you become Mother Teresa? Why didn't you become Desmond Tutu? Why didn't you become, it's going to be, why didn't you become you? Why do you allow yourself to get so distracted by life that you stopped identifying who I've made you to be in Christ? Truest possible reality. It's Father's Day today. And this Sunday we want to celebrate our fathers and all of those who have been father figures in our lives. And maybe the biggest calling, the highest calling for any father or any father figure that we may have would be to help others to have enough space, enough belovedness in their lives to come into a realization of that reality. And folks, join me as we forgive our fathers for how they got it wrong and bless them for the times when they got it right. And for those of us, men or women, whoever we are, who are father figures to others, thank you for the times that we've got it right and forgive us for the times when we've allowed our own ego and all our own stuff to get in the way. We want to live in the reality that you have given us to be. We want to know that reality and we want to be the people who follow Christ in such a way that they come to know it too. May that be so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some questions. Where do you live most of the time? In your achievements, in your roles, or in your wounds? Or in the deeper truth that your life is hidden with Christ in God? What layers of identity, ego, expectations, old stories, that narrative that go on and gone on your head? What layers of identity might you be invited to peel back, to be fully awakened, more fully awakened to your truest identity? How does your understanding of God change when you imagine God not as separate from you, but as the very life in Christ rising up from within you? And what practices, what relationships, which people, what communities help you remember your identity as God's beloved? And how might you be helpful in helping others awaken to theirs? Dear God, we confess that we get this so wrong so easily. Thank you that who we are doesn't depend on who we believe we are, just because we think it doesn't make it so. Thank you for who you've made us to be in Jesus Christ. We would know it more. We would own that belovedness more. And we would come to share that better. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Show me, dear Lord, how you see me through your eyes, so that I can realize your great love for me. Teach me, O Lord, that I am precious in your sight. And as a father loves his child, so you love me. I am yours because you have chosen me. I'm your child because you've called my name, and your steadfast love will never change. I will always be your precious child. Show me, dear Lord, that I can never earn your love, that a gift cannot be earned, only given. Teach me, O Lord, that your love will never fail, that I can never drive away your great mercy. I am yours because you have chosen me. I'm your child because you've called my name. Your steadfast love will never change. I will always be your precious child. I am yours because you have chosen. I'm your child because you've called my name, and your steadfast love will never change. I will always be your precious child.
Good morning, friends. I invite you to join me in prayer, and I encourage you to sense the Lord's presence and listen for his voice in your hearts. In God's word, we are told to pray without ceasing, but sometimes that can be difficult, especially when we're feeling overwhelmed with emotions, and sometimes not even sure what to pray. Friends, trust the Holy Spirit will intercede, and God will know what it is you are needing. Psalm 46:10, in God's word, it reads, "Be still and know that I am God." How can we be still? How do we find peace in knowing you are God, holding all things together, when we are continuously exposed to so much suffering, both around the world and close to home? There's the evils of war and oppression, the natural disasters and continued deterioration of our planet, those who are lonely, hungry, homeless, or addicted, those experiencing illness or grief. It all can become overwhelming and leave us feeling helpless, but we can pray. The good news is God promises us peace. He promises peace. We can trust then that we will be blessed with it. He does not promise that we will not encounter storms in our lives, but he does promise that through prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to him, he will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. That was Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. God is in control. God hears our prayers and asks us to trust in him with all our heart. We can pray with confidence. We are citizens of Christ's kingdom. Father God, we lift to you all the nations, their peoples, and those in authority. May you guide in your wisdom those who govern at all levels, that justice will prevail and leaders will seek peace above power. Help us to live in harmony with your creation and restore that which has become damaged, to preserve your great works for generations to come. Prepare us to be your light and love in this world, to serve others with humility, compassion, and grace. Join me as we take a moment now to pray in our hearts or out loud for the persons or circumstances that may have come to mind. Father, we are truly grateful for the gift of today and for the opportunity to come together as a church family to share our faith and worship you. Help us to be still and listen for your voice. We give all praise and glory to you for the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I think, what does a God require of us, most essentially? He has to do justice and to walk humbly and show mercy. But it's to come to know who we are, where we are, that we are God's, that we live in the holiness of enormous, wonderful, inclusive, loving embrace, an embrace that nothing in creation is able to be excluded from. God is everywhere. God's love is everywhere. We get to know that about ourselves. We get to know that about others, about everything. The more we know it, the greater the blessing that we are to others. And I think the more we can imagine God smiling. Go and be the blessing that God intends you to be. Know who you are. And bless others. And as you do so, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you today and always. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. For my heart to find some blessing. Praise.